At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
This is Mike Kegley. Welcome to Eye on the Illini. Big show today. Deion Thomas, the all-time leading scorer for Illinois basketball and the voice of Fighting Illini basketball, is going to be on. We are excited to have him. I have some questions from Illini Guys subscribers, and we will have a fantastic conversation. Don't go away.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-485-8801. 800-485-8801. That's 800-485-8801.
Welcome back to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley, and as advertised, we have the Illini's all-time leading scorer, Deion Thomas, on. Folks nowadays may not even realize that, but you hear his voice calling Illini basketball games. Deion, thanks for coming on today.
No, Mike, it's a pleasure joining you and the Illini guys. Of course, you know, I follow you guys. I listen to what you do. I watch what you do. So this is truly a pleasure to be able to join you on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate it. We, you know, it's kind of giving context to people about what you meant to the program. And of course, you played basketball at Simeon.
Yes.
Now, I'm about four years older than you. I graduated in 1985, and I will tell you, you wore number 25 for the Illini. We, in my age group at Muhammad, we went and watched Simeon play with Ben Wilson in the Prairie State games. We thought he was, personally, I thought he was the best high school basketball player I've ever seen. And I've been very fortunate to see over the years a lot of great players, even including guys like Jabari Parker, who were ranked number one in the country. It's kind of interesting, but how did you end up at Simeon? Because we kind of talked a little bit of this at the break. I don't know if Illini fans realize there were some pivotal moments that made you go to Simeon, which then allowed the rest of the runway for your career.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great question. And I think a lot of people, I've told this story often, but my brother was the first, I guess, person to recruit as a recruiter to recruit Deion Thomas. I was a baseball player growing up, loved the sport of baseball, still do to this day. And one summer before my freshman year, before I had chosen which school I was going to go to, because Robeson, Paul Robeson was our neighborhood school, basically, but we could also have gone to Simeon or Inglewood. And after being pulled into that game, again, this is the first time I had played basketball. My brother and I, as we're walking home, he tells me, hey, I'm going to talk to mom because I think you should go to Simeon and not go to Rose. And I'm like, why? You know, he's, well, you don't understand how good of a player you are or could be, rather, sorry. He was like, the guys on that basketball court that you were playing with, those are, you know, we had some guys up there. Marcus Liberty's brother Stretch was out there. Alfredric Hughes and his brother Chris were both out there. So there were some really, really good and talented players that were out there. And here I am as an eighth grader, I guess, holding my own. out there, my brother told my mom, hey, Deion needs to go to Simeon, because my brother played basketball at Robeson, and so they were in the same conference as Simeon, so he had played against Benji prior, and so he was like, and he literally said, if he can make Ben Wilson, meaning Bob Hamburg, that is, he can make a Deion Thomas. And that fall, I enrolled at Simeon. Again, I had never played basketball before, but I was a 6'5 string bean. And Coach Hamburg saw me, was like, yeah, you definitely have to come out for basketball. And that's what I did. And, you know, Irvin Small was, you know, a lot of people don't give Big E credit, but Irvin was my first teacher of the game, because what we call the Simeon way, a upperclassman takes a underclassman and basically walks him through all of the basics that Coach Hamburg wanted at that time.
And boy, we watched that from afar, and what a incredible machine he built there. It was just a marvel between him and Shannon down in East St. Louis building the football program. You saw two coaches who knew how to build the foundation and develop players.
They did. And I think, you know, Coach was more than just a basketball player. You know, when he passed away, we literally could not get inside the funeral home. I mean, this is how many people were there to honor him. And a lot of them, including the main speaker, were guys that never played basketball, that never played a sport, you know, because he was one of the advisors. So he was a teacher of men. And I believe that was what fueled the way he did things as a coach and in building his program. I mean, literally, you heard me say it, the Simeon way. I mean, if you say this now to anyone that's from my era or from Robert Smith's era, who he and I played together at Simeon, and then he took over after Coach Hamburg, everyone will say the same thing. There was a way that we went about our business. And knock on wood, the majority of the players turned out not just to be good basketball players, but great men.
Yeah, I love Coach Smith. I thought basically him and Witzig at Normal Community, those are the two best defensive coaches I think I've seen in high school anywhere. And we've had the good fortune of living in multiple states. But of course, we had the same thing at Mahomet. When we would go to parties as football players, we would drive into Champaign. There might be some parties there. If it was a Mahomet football player that was an ex-player throwing a party, they would have Coca-Cola at their party for us so that if we showed up, because they knew we couldn't drink and we'd get in trouble. So you would actually tell people, go, oh, I heard you went to a party at this house or that house. Yeah, we did. And we always had, we really never drank because we'd get thrown off the football team. And that was part of that life lesson that you found out that no matter how good you are in sports, there were consequences that were bigger than sports. That's a good lesson to learn at a young time. We had Frank Dutton teaching us that. You had Bob Hamburg teaching you. And those are the things that people don't really get about sports when it's not just about the winning and losing on the court.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, sports are, you know, is a microcosm of life. You know, I remember those old T-shirts back when I was in grade school. They, you know, one would have a basketball and they'll say basketball is life or baseball is life. Yep. And I don't believe a lot of people understand that's the beauty of team sports. Anything you do, because you're going to have to, you know, unless you, even if you're a high tech guy that creates an app and sells this a bit for billions of dollars, you have to learn how to work with people. You have to learn how to talk to people. You have to learn how to work with them. You have to learn how to deal with the good and the bad of failure and winning. And this is some of the things that team sports teach you when you're growing up. And then when you have a coach or a mentor that does it the right way, man, that does nothing but heighten your maturity level and how quickly you mature. And like you said, and the lessons you learn in life as a teenager that you can carry forward into your adult life.
Yeah. Now, as we transition to your time at Illinois, we now come on the darkest time for Illinois, because at that point, I believe the Illinois program, the Flying Illini, the program, I think at this time, the opportunity for Lou Henson to win a national title or two was stolen from him.
Yes.
By the NCAA. Because if you look and you do your research, the first, I believe it might have even been Mike Slive who was the guy who made the announcement, but
it was.
But the first line was, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but I'm going to paraphrase, is, although there was no evidence of wrongdoing, the number of allegations has made us bring in the lack of institutional control, which is their way of slapping down a program as hard as they can. I will tell you, Dion, as a fan and as a overly competitive big baby, I didn't watch college basketball for about 5 years, not a single game. So I may be the only diehard Illini fan who has never seen you play.
Well, let's start from the beginning and take it from the beginning. You know, this story has been told a million times, so we don't really have to delve too deep into it. But when you have a coach and he has friends that work for the NCAA and they bring forth allegations, you know, I always thought in this country you were innocent until proven guilty. And proof is what's important. Facts are what's important, not conjecture, not, oh, I thought this happened in my feelings or this way or that way. It's based on proof. So you made a statement about, you know, many possibly winning one or two national titles. Man, I will give up being the all-time leading scorer and at whatever point the other awards that I would have had to have had an opportunity to play in the Final Four to win the championship. And I believe we would have been there if I had been able to play. The remaining guys from that Flying Illini team, what did they lack? They lacked an interior presence after Lowell Hamilton was gone. You know, if I'm playing, I believe we're back in the same position with an opportunity to win. And to go even further, I mean, the guys that we missed out on because we went on probation, you know, and of course, like you mentioned, when we were off air, everyone's heard the names, the Juwan Howards, the Conzo Martins, the Michael Finleys, you know, and all, and people of that stature, players of that stature, we're definitely in the running to win at least one or two championships. And then what it also did was, and this is probably the saddest of things for me, because Jimmy Collins and I, as you know, were really close.
Yep.
My father was not around. Bob Hambrick and I became really close once I graduated from Simeon. Not so much when I played at Simeon, simply because, you know, he was a disciplinarian. He was, you know, he pushed us. So at the end of my time when I was at Illinois and afterwards is when Coach Hambricks and I relationship got really close. So I was closer to Jimmy Collins than I was to almost any man walking on this earth. And so to see his career tarnished and his opportunity to be the first African-American coach at the University of Illinois taken away from him because, again, allegations, and that most of those allegations had nothing to do with him.
Which
is even worse. I think was a slap in the face, and he was definitely it was an injustice to both him, myself, and all of the other players that were on those staffs. I mean, because there's no reason in the world Kendall Gill shouldn't have had an opportunity to win the national championship, or Marcus Liberty. Yep. You know, or maybe if I'm playing and we don't go on probation, maybe Nick Anderson doesn't go to the NBA. You know, maybe he stays. And you know, and Steve Bardo, who you had on as a guest, maybe those guys have an opportunity to do what I believe, if not for a missed block out, you know, have their national championship, and the university have its national championship. So I think, yes, Mike Slive, you know, rest his soul. And the other cohorts that were with him stole a lot of opportunities from the University of Illinois.
Yeah, and I always felt, to this day, Lou Henson never got the credit for being the coach that he was. And it was stolen from him because Bobby Knight and Digger Phelps wanted to go knock on doors at headquarters. And I just, at that point, it's frustrating because there's a man who was always a class act.
Yes.
And did things the right way, ran the program well. And the funny thing was, is as somebody who was around town growing up in high school, Muhammad and in high school, back in those days, people don't understand that if you were going to go pro at the end of the season, you could get a loan against the fact that you were going pro. So you always knew who was going pro, because that person who didn't have anything would all of a sudden have a car.
Right.
And so it's like there's nothing wrong going on. It was not like Eric Dickerson showing up with a car there's a big difference between actual cheating and implied cheating. And you know what I think drove Knight over the top was Illini's defense was better than Indiana's defense. And I just don't think he could handle that. I really think that was the beginning of it.
Oh, no doubt. And I, you know, of course, Coach Knight recruited me when I was at Simeon. And I will not say anything to tarnish him as well, because I had a lot of respect for Coach Knight. Digger Phelps a little bit less. But Coach Knight was a competitor, and he wanted to be in control and in charge of the Big Ten. He wanted to be the best team in the Big Ten. And like you're talking about offense, you're talking about defense, you're talking about recruiting, and he was not. That was the University of Illinois. I mean, he came into Illinois and he recruited me. He recruited Nick Anderson, because I remember seeing him at Simeon. He recruited Marcus Liberty and everyone else. And then you lose the four Mr. Basketballs in a row to, you know, your rival, the guy that started off in the beginning as a friend of yours, and then the relationship sour, and now he's not. You know, so why he did what he did, I agree, that could be the reason why. But I'd really agree with you wholeheartedly that Lou Henson is one of the best coaches I've ever played for. One of the cleanest coaches that I've ever played for or even heard of. The guy didn't even curse.
Yeah.
Let alone do something that was totally out of character. And this is what I don't think the university at the time backed him the way they should have. They didn't back myself. And I clearly said, I've said it many times, they didn't back me or Coach Collins the way they should have. But having been an athletic director and having done, I understand you got to protect the brand. I understand now, let me say that. You have to protect the brand. But I think it does tarnish a little bit the reputations of people. And I'll say this is outside of the University of Illinois. Our fan base and our supporters, I don't think ever wavered one bit. I don't believe they ever questioned, at least as far as I know, one bit, the character of Lou Henson, Jimmy Collins, or myself.
Yeah.
And that is what you want. Unfortunately, outside people, you know,
yeah, controllable too much.
My mama say, if you don't have something good to say, don't say nothing at all.
Yeah, well, I had several subscribers ask me to talk a little bit about that, so I apologize for bringing that up. I know you've
need for apologies.
You have to talk about it all the time, but let's talk a little bit about after after your career at University of Illinois, again, the leading scorer all time.
Yep.
You ended up getting drafted by the Mavericks, and then you ended up playing overseas, and you had a 14-year career that was one of the best that was ever had by an American player. And there were opportunities to come back to the NBA, and you've proven time and time again, you can score on anybody. What was the calculus that you decided, you know what, I'm going to stay where I'm at, as opposed to coming back to the NBA, which everybody automatically just assumes is the ultimate goal, that there can be no other standard.
Well, what I'm going to tell you, I think a lot of people, and I know people that when I've said this to them, they're totally shocked. When I started playing basketball, again, remember, I wasn't a basketball player. I wasn't in love with it. I was a baseball player that was kind of pushed into it by my older brother, who was a guy that I looked up to wholeheartedly. He's almost like a father in my home, even though he's only 4 years older than me.
Yep.
So once I was drafted, before I was, it was never NBA or bust for me. Basketball was an ends to a means. It was an opportunity for me to get and improve our lives off of the west side of Chicago. At this time, we were living in Inglewood, but it gave me an opportunity to get out of Inglewood, out of our living situation, and get to college. That's all it was for me. And that's all it remained. Even when I was drafted, that's what it remained. I remember the 11th hour with my contract. I have my contract from Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
My agent brings to me an offer from Spain, which was an even bigger offer than what I would have made, of course, because of, you know, you don't pay taxes, you don't have to pay for homes and all these other things when you plan overseas. And I called Jimmy Collins, and he and I sat down, we talked about this, and he said something to me that I believe today. I have passed it on, and I have said to others, and he told me, he was like, Deion, he was like, it doesn't matter where you make your money. He was like, it's just what matters is at the end of the day, when you finish bouncing the ball, you can do what you want to do instead of doing what you have to do. And that was the thing that really stuck with me. As a kid growing up in the concrete jungle on the west side of Chicago, I always wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. I wanted, you know, all of these opportunities. So I called Mark Bartelstein, who was my agent. I said, hey, I'm not signing this. I want to go to Spain. And he was like, okay, no problem. So the idea was to go to Spain for a year and then to come back to the Dallas Mavericks.
Yep.
And also, if anybody remembers back in 1994, the Dallas Mavericks organization, pardon my French, was a shit show.
Yes.
It's not run the way it is now. Within the small time from the draft to pre-draft camp to rookie mini camps, which I went to, we had two different general managers.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, really? You know, but when I decided to go to Spain, the idea was to come back in 1995. You know, the following season. But if you remember, the NBA went on strike in 95.
Yep.
So then I was like, okay, I'm not going to sit around here and wait. You know, I'll go back. And what my agent told me was, well, yeah, you know, once everything is worked out here with the league, we can do your contract and you come back. That's not who I am. You know, if I tell you I'm going to do something, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I understand the business is the business, but, you know, I was like, no, I'm going to stay for the year and then I'll come back. During that time, I happened to meet the young lady that became my wife for 25 years. Her family was from Israel. And we had to really decide, do I want to stay here where we're closer to her family and my family can come over? I loved being in Spain. I really, truly enjoyed the life there, the people there. I mean, shoot, Mike, I almost stayed there. I almost didn't come home. I mean, that's how much I truly enjoyed it. So for me, it was always about peace of mind. it wasn't about, you know, an MBA. I didn't have anything to prove to anyone. I mean, so it was about peace of mind. We were happy. I was happy. My oldest daughter was born there. So, I mean, we were living life, and I didn't need the MBA, you know. Now, the one thing I joke with people about when they ask that question, I always tell them, well, maybe I would have been recession proof.
Yeah.
You know, there would have been a pension there and some other things, you know, financially, but I do not believe that I would have had all of the experiences that I've had in my life while I was living and playing in Europe. I mean, if to be honest, outside of seeing my grandkids being born, which I'm waiting on those. My oldest daughter is only 24, so got some while. Outside of that and walking my girls down the aisle, bro, I mean, my life has been so much more than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah, that type of attitude would just destroy professional sports, an actual mature attitude about those type of things. People wouldn't know what to do. That's a great story, and certainly gives credence, because the respect that you have as a basketball player, everybody knows you would have been successful. And yeah. I thought it was always good to kind of talk about the whys as to how people do things. Now, getting back after you retired, you've also done some things, I think, that is interesting, because you were the head coach at Lewis and Clark Community College, and then you were an assistant basketball coach at University of Illinois Chicago. So you've kind of seen basketball from like every seat possible, as now you're announcing it.
As well as athletic director. At
yes. Lewis and Clark. So, yeah, I totally forgot about that. How does that play into what you bring to the table as an announcer, because you've seen this perspective from literally every side of the table possible?
Well, I'll tell you this. I think it has given me a very wide view of what the game is and what it looks like and what it should be. And again, my athletic director's role also assisted and helped in that, especially with the way that things are going today, with all of the changes. From a player standpoint, you learn, you know, what to do, how to do it when you're out there on the floor. You can see various things that are taking place, whether they're tendencies that players may have, and how to counter those things and how to deal with them. From a coach's standpoint, I think it's an even more widely overarching view of how that is, because now you're looking at how they got there and all of those things. So when I'm sitting down with Brian, and this is where I have to take my hat off to that guy, man, we not only have the best radio guy in the country for college basketball, yep, we may have one of the best ever. And Brian Barnhart is absolutely amazing. I know he has a great voice, but believe me, he's a heck of a lot more than just that nice baritone voice. I mean, he's great. And when I sat down with Brian the first time, he made it really simple for me. And of course, I was coming from the Big Ten Network, so everything was visual, so you could see the game. So Brian told me, he was like, Deion, I'm going to paint the picture. And he was like, and you tell why it happened, you know, what's led up to it, what was, you know, maybe the player or the coach thinking. So he really gave me a perspective of how to view the game from the sideline as an analyst. And I think the whole ball of wax, all that stuff that I had done for over 30 years, I'm able to break it down. And I don't want to offend any of the listeners, but to simplify it and yep, teach, you know, people that may not see it, do it, or have done it as long as I have or understand it. So it gives me an opportunity to really just bring that down to a basic level while I'm not just trying to entertain, but I'm also trying to educate our listeners.
And I think that comes through very, very vividly. And I know even as a covering the Illini, you know, Kedrick, Prince, Brad, yeah, Sturdy, and myself, I think I'm the least amount of coaching experience, and I coached AAU basketball for 12, 13 years, and I'm like the newbie. And we try to bring in some of those things, because there are things going on in a game that you may not notice if you haven't tried to either counter them on the court as a player, counter them as a coach, or even be evaluating your coaches and how they're doing it, which you've done all those things. Some of us have only done maybe one or two of them. And that, I think, really adds. And, of course, the amazing thing about Brian Barnhart is, as good as he is his job, he may be even a nicer guy than he is a good announcer, which is a rare package. Yeah. So
I agree 100%. He's an amazing, amazing person.
The funniest Brian Barnhart story is he came into the Big Ten media room and I was back there and he goes, "They're going to overtime. We got to fill 20 more minutes." And I said, "Brian, I'm here." He's got to hustle back out. And all of a sudden I get a text and he's like, "Help." I sprinted out there and, you know, because filling time is what I do for as a former sales guy. That's what I can do for a living. So, again, Brian's just one of the great ones. And you know, you and him together is awesome. And obviously Doug Altenberger. And, I mean, you bring in all this tradition on top of it. It's just a really nice part. And it's nice to see some of other, former Illini out there broadcasting games, whether it's Derek Harper for the Mavericks, Eddie Johnson for the Phoenix Suns, you know, Steve Bardo doing college basketball. It really speaks to how the Illinois basketball team, which a lot of people, let's be real honest, a lot of people go, "Oh, these guys are great athletes." But when you're able to describe it to other people, that proves that it's not just great athletes, it's people who understand the game. And yes. Then you add those communication skills, which is a really well-rounded product.
Well, first of all, Mike, I'm going to say thank you for bringing that part up, because I think a lot of people don't understand what student athletes have to go through, being the student as well as the athlete. And what the University of Illinois does, whether it's under Lou Henson, whether it's under John Gross, whether it's today with Brad Underwood, and Josh will say this, as he said in our last, what we call all staff meetings, when he brings into, you know, the entire department in, it's about the academics at Illinois. It's about the student athletes at Illinois and their experiences. And I believe those experiences, one, as you mentioned, guys being able to communicate, being able to understand, being able to articulate their thoughts and things around the game of basketball or in life in general, a lot of that comes from the University of Illinois. You know, I'm not going to knock Simeon, but Simeon's not Whitney Young. Simeon's not Nequa Valley. But there as well, you have to be a student athlete, not just an athlete. The University of Illinois is the same way. I mean, you look at Brad's run since Brad has been there, his, 8 years? That, you know, the team has not had less than a 3.4 GPA. You don't get that if you're not putting in the work in the classroom. And Lou Henson, give you a little story. We got back from a trip, and I had an 8 o'clock class. And we got back late. It had to have been maybe 2 o'clock, or maybe it was Penn State. I can't remember. We got back terribly late. I slept through, and I missed my class. Coach brings us in. We got practice. And I have to run the assembly hall stairs for missing class. Coach was no nonsense. It was about going to class. It was about doing what you have to do. Now, of course, I'm not going to sit here and say, "Hey, I was at every class." None of us was at every class, but neither is every student, every athlete on the campus of the University of Illinois. We all find our places to cope in life. But the main thing was always the main thing. And it still is the main thing at this program. And it's about graduating student athletes and making people productive human beings. So yeah. Thank you very much for the compliment.
Yeah, it's great to see University of Illinois represented out there, and let's go now to this new roster that Illinois has. You know, you take a look at the talent that has been put together here. You have a couple returners with Dre Gibbs LaHorne, you know, and Ty Rogers. All of a sudden, Illinois has done a total facelift, you know, bringing in Kerry Booth,
yeah,
Kylan Boswell, Jake Davis, Ben Humrickhouse, Tomislav Ivicic, Jason Jaxtus, as it will be coming in as a freshman, Kasparis, and I'm just going to say KJ because I've got to figure this out. You've got Morez Johnson that you can see on the FIBA broadcast on YouTube, and Trey White. I mean, there is unbelievable amount of talent on this team and size.
Yes.
As you're looking at this roster building, and again, you've been an athletic director, you've been a coach, you've been a player. There's a lot of talent here, but what goes through your mind as you're seeing this being put together in this offseason?
It takes me back to two seasons ago after we lost to Arkansas. Sitting in the hotel lobby with Brad after the game, and the first statement he made, and that was a good team we had.
Yep.
Dysfunctional, but good players.
Yes.
And the thing he said to me was, Deion, I have to do it different. And, of course, me being the inquisitive person I am, what do you mean, coach? You know, he's like, hey, I need guys that are going to play for the name on the front and not the name on the back. I need guys that think about the program and that want the program to succeed the way I do. You look at last year's roster, I think he knocked it out of the park. You know, you get TJ back, who – if you remember when he first came in, along with Matt, they kind of had the Batman and Robin mentality that they had to do it or it didn't work. I think that changed. Terrence changed over time his first year. And then last season, phenomenal. You bring Coleman Hawkins back, who was kind of the program stalwart. You know, being here 3 and then 4 years, and you kind of have that same thing this year with Ty Rogers. You have that guy that's been here that can get across to other guys what the program's about, what coach wants, what he does not want. And I think, you know, Ty is kind of stepping right into that Coleman Hawkins role. And then you look at the players on top of that coach has brought in. You mentioned a ton of talent. I mean, this may be, and I've said this for the last 2 years in a row, probably offensively one of the most talented teams that Illinois has ever had. You know, got three guys actually that have come in that are already on NBA draft boards. You know, two of them are really young. Hopefully they'll stay around a couple years to grow physically, mentally, and all the other things. But, you know, again, we're in this era where you never know.
Yep.
So we're going to take what we have for right now. I love the roster. I love, you know, we have size. We didn't really have size. As great of a player as Dane is, and I love them. You know, I played with his dad at Simeon, so I'm a big Dane Danger fan. We didn't have the size.
Yeah.
But now we have not just have the size. Well, Moritz has to work on his outside shot, but his game is really raw. But you bring the big fella over from Europe that can stretch the floor at 7'1", 7'2", and already has size. And not to mention, he has played games against grown men already. So you're bringing in not just experience, you're bringing in size. And what killed us last year when we ran into UConn? Size. You know, now our roster across the board is 6'2 and above.
Yes.
You know, so we're long on the wings. We're big inside. You put these freshmen with Adam Fletcher, the best in the business. I call him the mad scientist. You put these guys with the mad scientist, they're going to look like KB has already, and he's been there a month. I mean, the kid has ripped all of that Arizona baby fat, is gone. He looks amazing, you know. Yeah. So my expectations and what I see from this roster are really high. My only thing is, and my apprehension is, waiting to see how they gel. If they gel the way last season's team did, oh man, this is going to be a dangerous, dangerous team, because there's so many options offensively that what are you going to do?
Yeah,
do you defend? Where do you go? And then if they gel the way they did, and we both know Brad Underwood, you're going to play defense and you're going to play hard. So, you know, I'm expecting them to be really good. I just got my fingers crossed waiting to see how they gel as individuals in that team.
Yeah, this team has, I think, ironically, I think it may have a higher ceiling than last year's team.
Yes.
It also might have a lower floor because they do have to gel, and you got to see all that come together. But you know, you coached at the lower levels where you replace a whole roster. And of course, Brad Underwood coached in the JUCO levels. So it's not like he hasn't done this before.
And that's where that, you know, that's the positiveness of having coached at the JUCO level. The JUCO level, you're changing your roster every year. And you're almost counting on changing half of your roster. So it gives him, in my opinion, the ability to forecast and look forward as to what they're going to need. You can tell who's going to stay around during the year, who may be on their way out. You can tell all these things and who wants to leave. So then you get to start working early. Now, other coaches around the country, I'm sure, can do the same thing. But I love the fact that our guy has been successful at every level, even when he was at the JUCO level, yet understands this era and where we are today.
Yeah, that's not to be understated. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I also wanted to bring up, you do some mentoring as well. And could you talk a little bit about that? Because I think one of the things, again, I get frustrated is when people, the athletes are athletes because they're athletic and that's it. I think that's a ridiculous way to look at athletes. And then the other part is people are always like, are they giving back? And right. I think mentoring someone is one of the greatest things you can do to help a younger person not have to maybe learn every lesson the hard way. And if you could talk about that, that'd be great.
Thank you. I mean, and Mike, thank you for pointing that out, because I think that's a very missed opportunity a lot of times when we're doing podcasts or we're talking and giving interviews that people don't understand. And as you mentioned, when you have fans and people outside that don't know what you're doing or don't have a clue about, you know, the importance of reaching back, I think this gives them an opportunity to see and do what they do. Now, I'm fortunate enough, I mentor in a couple of different ways. The University of Illinois itself, our athletic department, through our Varsity Eye and through our student athlete development department, they have a student athlete mentoring program. So I'm a part of that. It's been, I think, around 3 years that it's started up. I've been a mentor for a couple of different athletes, both female athletes. One on the women's basketball team this year's mentee was one of our women's soccer players. And they base it around, one, what the student athlete is either majoring in or what they want to do moving forward. And I think we, and I can speak for myself, I think I was able to provide some valuable lessons on how to move forward, whether it's through networking, making connections for them through, you know, with people I have out in the business, whether it was one of them wants to work for the Big Ten. So I was able to put her in contact with people at the Big Ten office. So it's really making those connections, being able to all answer questions for them about their time at Illinois, maybe a positive way of utilizing that time and building connections while they're on campus. Because I can tell you, I wish when I was on campus, we had this program in place. We didn't at the time. And I didn't learn or understand the importance of networking until I was 37.
Yep.
That's when I retired from playing professional basketball. You know, and I know, you've missed, in some cases, half of your life already if you don't understand it. And so that is being able to pass my experiences along to those two young ladies, which I'm going to continue to do that as long as I'm alive.
Yep.
I'll continue to do that at Illinois. Now, the second part of my I'll say there's three. The second part is here in the inner city. I work closely with Tracy Abrams, who has his Chicago Positive Impact program. And another young man, his name is Markel Oliver. He has another program that helps inner city kids that's basically built around golf. And, you know, one's basketball, one's golf, but it's all about helping these young men and young women become positive impacts on their society, on society, and on their communities and on their neighborhood. So being able to go in and talk with, a lot with those young people, being able to make introductions and connections, which I just introduced Tracy and Markel, so they can possibly combine their knowledge of and things that they're doing to help not just their kids, but others. And then I, you know, do some charity work here in the city. But the last and what I think is a piece that is missed a lot is when athletes finish their career, whether they're finishing at, you know, the University of Illinois or whether they're finishing a professional career. When you've been an athlete your entire life, learning and knowing what to do, just simple and simple life every day is challenging because you don't know. And you've had an identity since you were 7, 8 years old for some people. Me, I was a freshman, but other people are 7, 8 years old when they start their sport, and you don't have an opportunity to learn much more after that. So I'm fortunate enough that a lot of the former athletes at Illinois and even other institutions reach out to me. I'm like, man, Dion, we see you doing this. How did you do it? You know, what steps did you take to get back and re-enter, really enter society? Because of the life of a student athlete and as a pro, I tell people all the time, is it's not real life.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of a fantasy life, because of the way people do things for you and they cater to you. And Mike, I think you'll understand this, when you're not that guy, you know, now you have to scratch, claw, and learn and this and this. Sometimes people are not as nice.
Yes, you are correct.
Willing to give of their time. And so helping, you know, people, athletes, male, female, understand how to bridge that gap and all of the difficulties that comes with it from a mental standpoint, from an emotional standpoint, because your entire life changes. And I suffered through it. I was fortunate enough to have people like Eddie Johnson, to have Steve Bardo, to have Jerry Hester at the time, you know, who's younger than me, but he had been in the real world when I was still bouncing a basketball, be able to help me transition. I just like to be able to pass that along to others. So, yeah, I stay pretty busy, man.
Yeah, that's a great story. Some of the people that I respect most are the ones who, when they, even when they're not asked, they find a way to reach out and help other people.
Yeah.
And to me, that's one of the big measures of a successful individual, how I think of them in my mind, is that willingness to help others. And I go back to, it's kind of funny, it's just a little anecdote, but when I was coaching AAU basketball up in Illinois, I remember watching the Mac Irvin Fire. They were sprinting to their game. It was very crowded. They were having a hard time getting through, and they were running late for whatever reason. And as they were kind of, they all kind of were standing because they couldn't get through a hallway because there were so many people. Some kid who had to be, I don't know, maybe 10, pulled on Jabari Parker's jersey from behind and said, "Hey, can you take a picture with me?" And Jabari's late and the rest of the Mac Irvin Fire are moving. And he, you know, he finds the, you know, he look, talks to the kid for a second and he finds the parent and he gets them over and he poses for a picture, takes the picture, and then he runs off to the game. Nobody saw that. I think I was probably the only person who saw that outside of the parent that was taking the picture. And so when I saw him on Twitter the other day, getting kind of emotional when somebody asked him about not being in the NBA anymore,
mm-hmm.
my mind went back to him as a high school kid, taking time to make this kid's day. I don't know if I would have been that good at the age of 17 to have that type. But when I think of Jabari Parker, that's what I think about. And when you're mentoring and helping other people, I just think that's one of the greatest things that a person can do with their time.
Well, thank you. And I agree with you. One, if you know Jabari Parker, you know his dad, you know Sonny Parker. Sonny has mentored and helped young people, oh my God, for as long as I can remember. I mean, I was one of those kids that Sonny helped and mentored, and there's been thousands of them ever since. Again, as I mentioned, Simeon High School, his coach was Robert Smith.
Yep.
It's the Simeon way. You know, we were taught then, these are the things that you do. One, because you never know who you may need. Like you said, maybe no one saw that, but you did. So you never know who's watching, and you never know what opportunity may come from it. Or, and the bottom line of it is, Jabari may not ever remember that, but that kid will remember that for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
He will tell that story. And that's what it's about. So to be able to do that, I mean, I think all athletes should do that. I mean, I remember the old Charles Barkley commercial, you know, I'm not a role model, so forth and so on. And I saw him recently on the interview he did with Shannon Sharp. And he made reference to it, and he was like, man, I didn't realize how much of a mentor I was and how much of a role model I was. And I think that, you know, learning that at Simeon for such a young age. So hearing that Jabari did that, to be honest, is not a surprise to me, Mike. You know, his upbringing with his family, his parents, where he went to high school, doesn't surprise me. He's a tremendous young man. I agree with you 100%. It's just a great young man. And so not surprised, but it's definitely good to hear.
Yep. Perfect. Well, I tell you, Deion, this has been a great conversation. You know, anytime you want to stop by, we will have you more than happy to have you on, and can't wait to hear you during basketball season. One of the biggest challenges is trying to time up YouTube TV with with the audio from the Fighting Illini Network. It's always a little bit challenging, but we certainly enjoy your call of the game and appreciate everything you do. Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on. If there's ever anything I can do, do not hesitate to let me know. And there's an app called Sync My App you know, Brian Barnhart talks about. I hope that could work for you.
There we are. We'll have to do that. Well, I tell you what, folks, we will be right back.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth or retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you are listening, please subscribe to the podcast. If you are watching, please go ahead and subscribe to the IlliniGuys.com YouTube page. And if you like what you've heard on this, go to our website, www.IlliniGuys.com. You can subscribe, $99 a year, and it'll get you all the news that you want. And the most important thing is you get access to our message boards. That's where guys like Ked and Brad can put on their information. Kedrick Prince, our director of recruiting, Brad Sturdy, our insider, can put on information that may be more of a rumor standpoint that you can't really publish as an article. But Illini Guys subscribers are very rarely surprised about who commits, et cetera. You want to get that type of inside information. You want to know who the team is looking at. You want to know what they're thinking. This is the place to be. We'd love to have you. $99, you'll love it. And we would enjoy more subscribers. And the message boards also allows you to have conversations with other Illini fans and people on the staff. So you can ask Brad a question. You can ask Ked a question. You can ask Matt Stevens a question. Larry Smith as well. So it's always kind of cool. And of course, if you want to hear the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, that is on across the state of Illinois on Fridays or Saturdays. It's a 2-hour show. Check theIlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you can see the station nearest you, or you can go and get the podcast every week, either way that works for you. And of course, Larry is busy with the WNBA on ION. Watch him every Friday night before the WNBA game as he does the pregame show on ION TV. Pretty much every cable and satellite provider has that. And that's another way to see one of the Illini guys in action. Until we meet again, I want to thank Deion Thomas for stopping by. And of course, go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.